Good morning, members. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
This is the third day, Thursday, January 12th, 2017. Convening roll call. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Biteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Air. Flitner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy.
Here.
Guru.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Jennings. Kinner.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
McGuire. Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Excused. Northrup.
Here.
Obermueller.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Pawnell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz. Sweeney.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
58 present, 1 excused.
Is that
59, sorry. Okay, 59 present, 1 excused, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Okay, members, would you please rise? We have Father Caney here again this morning to deliver the prayer.
A useful vessel, from Timothy 2, chapter 2, 21. So whoever cleanses himself will be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. A vessel is a container for holding something. Scripture often refers to us as earthen vessels, which can bring goodness and grace to others, to the community. An earthen vessel also is imperfect and has cracks. So we need to be patient with ourselves and with others. A vessel has real beauty because it tries to serve others with honor and good works. Lord, we ask you to bless each person in this legislative body. Strengthen them to be those earthen vessels which they have been set apart to bring real purpose and good works to their communities here in the state of Wyoming. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, members, the next order of business, journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 11, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by the journal committee, Representative Garu and Representative Gray.
Okay, our doctor of the day is Dr. John Healy. Where is he? He evidently is attending to our elderly statesman down the hall. And I mean that with all affection. I think he's the doctor of the day for both chambers, and he is from Cheyenne, and we appreciate him being here today. Okay, our next order of business is the introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Okay, the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 50.
House Bill 50, Limitations on Delegates, Constitution Amendment, Conventions, introduced by Representative Larson, D.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to a convention for proposing amendments to the United States Constitution.
House Bill Number 1 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72, Volunteer Health Care, introduced by Representative Larson, D.
House Bill 72 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Now, let's back up.
An act relating to public health and safety.
First reading of the bill. Time out. Let's kick the rust off here. Let's start over. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72, Volunteer Health Care, introduced by Representative Larson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 72 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 73.
House Bill 73, Interference with a Person Providing Emergency Services, introduced by Representative Steinmetz.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 73 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87.
House Bill 87, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, introduced by Representative Ponnell.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Victim and Witness Bill of Rights.
House Bill 87 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88.
House Bill 88, Background Checks, Enterprise Technology Services, introduced by Representative Ponnell.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Department of Enterprise Technology Services.
House Bill 88 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill 90, Concealed Weapons, Military Family Applicants, introduced by Representative Larson, L.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 90 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 97.
House Bill 97, Wyoming Uniform Transfers to Minors Act Amendments, introduced by Representative Greer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Uniform Transfers to Minors Act.
House Bill 97 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, introduced by Representative Lindholm.
First reading of the resolution.
A joint resolution petitioning Congress to call a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States to require a balanced federal budget.
House Joint Resolution 2 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration, the next joint resolution for our consideration is H.J. 3.
House Joint Resolution 3, Single Subject Amendment Resolution, introduced by Representative Larson, D.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to call a convention for the purpose of proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to require that every law enacted by Congress shall embrace only one subject, which shall be clearly expressed in its title.
House Joint Resolution 3 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13, Investment of Public Funds, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to investment of public funds.
House Bill 13 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 48.
House Bill 48, Fiscal Information in Legislation, introduced by Representative Steinmetz.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 48 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill 105, LSRA Limitations on Appropriations, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds.
House Bill 105 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, Volunteer Pension Account Search and Rescue, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to pension accounts.
House Bill 109 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill 54, Taxable Value of Agricultural Land, introduced by Representative Lindholm.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to ad valorem taxation.
House Bill Number 3 is referred, House Bill Number 54 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, American Indian Education Program, introduced by Representative Allen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public education.
House Bill 76 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77, In-State Tuition, American Core Services. Introduced by Representative Zwanzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to higher education.
House Bill 77 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill 93, Wichee Repayment Program, Veterinary Medicine Students, introduced by Representative Larson L.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education Repayment Program.
House Bill 93 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47.
House Bill 47, Water Rights Procedures, introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water.
House Bill 47 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20.
House Bill 20, Honor and Remember Flag, introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the display of flags.
House Bill Number 20 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63, Game Animal Licenses Limitations, introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 63 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69, County Resolution, Feeding Wildlife, introduced by Representative Schwartz.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to County Commissioners' Regulatory Authority.
House Bill 69 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill 56, Mobile Homes, Title Status Upon Permanent Foundation, introduced by Representative Lindholm.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mobile homes.
House Bill 56 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 68.
House Bill 68, Election Ballots, introduced by Representative Zwanzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 68 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80.
House Bill 80, Transportation Network Companies, introduced by Representative Zwanzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill number 80 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92.
House Bill 92, Payment of Wages Upon Termination, Time Limits, introduced by Representative Larson L.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and in employment.
House Bill 92 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill 98, LLC Dissolution Distributions, introduced by Representative Greer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to limited liability companies.
House Bill number 98 has been referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, Housing Authority, introduced by Representative Schwartz.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to municipalities and counties.
House Bill 103 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, Service and Assistance Animals, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to service and assistance animals.
House Bill 114 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill 96, Microbrewery Permits, introduced by Representative Greer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to microbrewery permits.
House Bill 96 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84.
House Bill 84, Workers' Compensation Delinquent Employers, introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill number 84 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 85.
House Bill 85, Unemployment Compensation Delinquent Employers, introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 85 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 112.
House Bill 112, EMS Licensure Interstate Compact, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to emergency medical service licensure.
House Bill 112 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113.
House Bill 113, Medicaid Waiver Program, Military Personnel, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Medical Assistance and Services Act.
House Bill 113 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation, introduced by Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the legislature.
House Bill number 35 is referred to Committee number 12, Rules. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws, introduced by Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the general revision of laws.
House Bill 36 is referred to Committee number 12, Rules. Next order of business are reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 82, Local Optional Sales and Use Taxes, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, Paxton. Signed, Chairman Madden. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 38, School Finance Interfund Borrowing, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendations that it do pass. Ayes, Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen. Signed, Chairman Northrop. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 42, Education, State Board of Education Membership, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton. Noes, Piperinen. Signed, Chairman Northrop. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 25, Dry Bean Commission Member Terms, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Clausen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, McKim, Steinmetz. Signed, Chairman McKim. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 26, Bark Beetle Program Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, McKim, Steinmetz, Noes, Clausen, and Gray. Signed, Chairman McKim. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 31, State Parks Accounts, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with the following amendments. Ayes, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire. Noes, Allen, Flitner, Steinmetz, and excused, Clem. Signed, Chairman Allen. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 4, NRC Agreement State Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Byrd, Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Chairman Greer. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 71, Unemployment Insurance, Electronic Communications, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barlow, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, Sweeney, and excused, Clem. Signed, Chairman Barlow.
Okay, members, we are at that. I think Representative Allen.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, would like to re-refer House Bill 31 to committee number 1, Appropriations.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, members.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Allen.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Wrong committee number 2, Appropriations.
Thank you. We'd rather send that to Appropriations instead of Judiciary. Okay. We're at that order of business. We're at that order of business. Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In your inbox, folks, is a blue sheet of bills that are going to be on general file. So general file today will be House Bill 4, House Bill 38, House Bill 42, House Bill 71, House Bill 82, and please add House Bill 25 and House Bill 26 to your list. And note that the second bill on that list is no longer going to be heard in general file today. And Mr. Speaker, with that, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Representative Greer. And actually, before we move to that, we have a motion on the floor. And all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Representative Greer.
Yay. All right, Committee of the Whole will come to order, please. Well, we'll get things organized today. We don't have a heavy schedule, and this being the first general file for the 64th Legislature, we'll take our time and make sure everybody gets comfortable with what we're doing. Just a couple of remarks here. I was trying to look back at some of our prior brothers and sisters' work in the legislature, and it's interesting what we see from year to year as we go back. We still deal with the same issues that we dealt with 125 years ago. And just briefly looking at a few things, and interestingly enough, back in 1890, after we first became a state, we get officially a state, start to move through the legislature. One of the key issues was setting up the warden's office and administration office, which would be our game and fish today. And some of that came out of from our forefathers or ranchers who are here to take care of the land, their concern over the dwindling amount of our wildlife and our species. And our state took it upon themselves to enact legislation to help manage that, to set up and regulate, and to also enforce hunting seasons. They also recognized that this was a resource for tourism, for people to come to our state and diversify our economy a little bit. And so at that point in time, we got a couple representatives here that'll appreciate this, but we required an out-of-state hunter or fisher person who came in to have a guide with them. And back in that point in time, in the 1890s, it was $10 a day, Representative Allen. And we take that out for inflation, that'd be pretty good. Yeah. and then what I liked, which might be a little bit onerous for some of our members, is there was a $1 fee for all residents for each firearm that you owned. So, anyway, with that that little bit of history, I think we should get started, and maybe we can get done before lunch and have the afternoon to work bills in our committee. So, with that, if I get the script lined out here, the first bill for our consideration is the 64th Legislature, House of Representatives, will be House Bill Number 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4, NRC Agreement, State Amendments, introduced by Minerals, an act relating to the Nuclear Regulatory Agreement.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Mr. Vice Chair Louts?
Mr. Speaker, it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce the first bill at the Committee of the Whole for the 64th. And I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Bill number 4 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And with that, I will turn this over for explanation to Representative Crank from, Representative from House District 18, where the water is sweet. I'll turn that over to him for his explanation. Thank you.
Vice Chair Louts, we do have a Standing Committee amendment. Would you move that?
I did move that.
You did move that? Sorry. Then I wasn't paying attention.
Sir, I just read right off the script. Man. That's pretty
Thank cool. you, sir. Okay. Yeah, Representative Crank, would you please present the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 4 looks to achieve primacy for the state with the Federal Agency for the Regulation of Uranium and Thorium. This is intended to streamline the regulatory process and reduce costs to the state and the industry. House Bill 4 seeks agreement status with the Federal Agency in regulating uranium, thorium, and associated byproduct materials produced in the recovery or milling of the materials. It provides for the authorization to negotiate the transfer of limited regulatory assumptions to the state, identifies that the federal agency shall maintain regulatory authority over all other nuclear source material, and provides the states with an enforcement article and for rulemaking and licensing requirements to meet the federal act as amended. It authorizes the state to issue licenses, to require financial assurance by the licensee, and the license fees shall include arrangements to cover the cost of the state to be paid by the licensees. It authorizes the state to inspect facilities and the ability to suspend licenses. And it provides for an effective date, and the fiscal note identifies no significant impacts. I'll move through the amendments now. Generally, the amendments are wordsmithing and ability to match the federal agency requirements. If you go to, first we'll go through the general ones. Page 2, line 18, 17 and 18, byproduct hyphen goes to byproduct. That is consistent throughout the document. Following that, line 20 just cleans up the section identification. 21 and identifies as the statute amended or the act amended. Page 3, line 7, again, byproducts, and the section is clarified. Line 9 indicates as amended. Lines 18 and 19, again, same section numbers identified and changed. Line 23, 22 and 23 removes the wording. Line, page 4, line 2 changes the identification of the sections. And then line 12, 13 identifies the Atomic Energy Act or the Federal Act, and 16 identifies uranium or thorium recovery. Lines 20, 21, 22, and 23 limits the authority over the source materials. Page 5, line 1, as amended and. Page 5, lines 6, 7, and 8 changes to match the federal agency requirements. Line 22, again, involved in uranium and thorium recovery. Page 6, I'm not going to go over all those on this, the middle of the page, but again, categorizes the materials to be agreed upon through the Act. And again, down at the bottom, lines 21 through 23 identifies uranium and thorium. Same issue, page 7, lines 4. Line 5 removes created and changes to associated byproducts. And lines 20 and 21, again, uranium and thorium. Page 8, lines 3, 4, 5, and 6 Identify the department is recognized to issue licenses. Lines 17 and 18, again, facilities, uranium and thorium are identified, associated byproducts. Page 9, lines 5 through 9, remove those items, and 10, specify that cost estimates and payments will be charged. Lines 15 and 16, just a clarification again on uranium and thorium recovery. And that does it through the committee. Generals, we'll go to the amendment. Standing committee amendments, page 1, line 1. After the word agreement, insert and nuclear regulatory functions of the state developed under the agreement requiring the adoption of a fee structure permitting an assessment of the fees as specified. Page 1 again, after line 10, insert section 1. Wyoming Statutes 3511205 is created to read, then 3511205 as presented. With that, page 1, line 12, as we've added a new section 1, we provide for delete section 1 and insert section 2. Page 9, line 10, after the word 4, insert decommissioning. As we've changed the section numbers, again, on line 21 on the amendments, we modify it to section 3 is added. And it's the 2005 Wyoming Session Laws, Chapter 6, Section. Page 10, line 10, delete Section 2 and insert Section 4.
Okay, right now we are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Are there any questions or further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor to Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 4, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 4 is passed. We're now on for further discussion on House Bill Number 4. And Representative, or Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is on page 6, line 12 through 14. And this talks about the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and I'm assuming this is the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission, shall retain regulatory authority over independent or commercial laboratory facilities. And my question is, does that give them authority over laboratory facilities within these types of things that we are actually regulating, or is it laboratories that are outside of these facilities? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as my recollection in the discussion during the interim is that gets into medical waste and some of the stuff used in the energy industry, but outside the processing of the materials we're looking at currently.
Representative or Vice Chair Laux.
Mr. Speaker, yeah, the issue here, this has been something that's been going on for a couple of years with this committee. And in our application, it's a very narrow thing, just for the mining and milling operation and nothing else.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just remind the body, particularly those that have been here for the last couple of years, this agreement state issue has been kind of an ongoing process, and this came back to us this year because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in working with the Department of Environmental Quality, said we needed to make some adjustment in our language to make sure that licensure was complete, and that's really what this does. I just would really compliment, Mr. Chairman, the good representative's job on presenting this bill, and job well done.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit of history here on our uranium industry in Wyoming and the need for this NRC direction for Wyoming to become an agreement state. Wyoming from about 1953 until the early 1980s was the second largest uranium producing state in the country. Now it's the first producing state in the country. It was a big deal back in the 60s and 70s. Oil, gas, and then uranium were the three leading taxes in Wyoming. In fact, uranium taxation and evaluation exceeded coal and Trona combined back in those years. Everything changed when we got to the Arab oil embargo in the middle 70s. That's when oil and gas really took off. That's also when we revitalized our coal industry, and it became a major power source across the country. So, you know, again, Wyoming was a big producer. Back in those days when we had probably 5,000 or 6,000 employees in this industry and it was producing a lot of taxes, the NRC had an office in Denver that regulated the milling of these uranium products back then. In about 1990 to 95 time frame, the NRC closed the Denver office down. So everyone that was being regulated in the mining of uranium had to go and deal with people in Washington, D.C. And there was a bigger and bigger disconnect all the time. So, you know, we've had a number of bills the last 10 years that looked at nuclear and looked at uranium. We had a task force on nuclear power. We even had some disagreement amongst the industry whether they really wanted Wyoming to have agreement state status. But it made sense, finally. And one of the reasons was is that mining of uranium has progressed from conventional mining, which was open pit and underground mines, and then a conventional mill where they crushed the rock and added chemicals and extracted the uranium. Now they simply use a method called in situ mining. In place is what in situ means. And so they take simple water wells, like the water well in your backyard, if you happen to have one. They inject basically Perrier water, and they fortify the water with oxygen. It goes into the rock formation. It dissolves the uranium, very specific to uranium, and then they recover it in a recovery well that's a submersible pump about 100 feet away. That's in situ mining. That's what we're regulating right now, but also conventional mining, if we ever have conventional mining again. And frankly, our miners in Wyoming that operate under this technique have far more expertise. Even our regulators in Cheyenne have more expertise than the people in Washington, D.C. So this is why it made sense for us to become an agreement state when it comes to the mining of uranium. The people operating, the miners operating under NRC right now, spend on the order of between $100,000 and $200,000 a year per year for their permits. Instead of those fees going to Washington, D.C., and all the trouble that we have with Washington, D.C., those fees will now go to our Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. They've teamed up and staffed up to be able to do the regulation here. So this is a good deal. It's the right way to go, and I encourage you to vote aye on this bill.
Is there any further discussion, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you for recognizing me, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little history on this bill. There's been, over time, you know, these issues aren't new to Wyoming, but there's been a few new kids we'd called ourselves back in the day, and the good majority floor leader's one of them, and we ran a bill, it's been 7 years ago, the Nuclear Energy Production Task Force, and we met, and this is one of the recommendations of our task force. It's been a multi-year effort. There is some stand-up cost to this. We're going to have three employees in the initial startup phase, but it will go to a fee-based system, and it will pay for itself, and we'll move those folks really off the rolls of this. So I think it's an important bill. It's a very difficult bill to be the first one to start out of the chute with, but I encourage your support of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great bill. Question, page 9, lines 15 and 16. And this is where we're allowing our DEQ director to impound source material involved in uranium or thorium recovery. Just a couple concerns with this. We're going to allow the impound in Wyoming of uranium. So I guess my question would be, do we have a facility now that we know of where we would be storing this material should we have to impound it? And B, would there be any cost associated with an impound of this magnitude? There's got to be Homeland Security issues surrounding that as well. So just some questions on, are we sure we want to do this? And is there going to be a cost associated down the road with having to impound uranium in the state?
Okay. Vice Chair, do you want me to take the floor?
I guess.
Okay. Representative Miller, Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, if they're going to impound this, it'll simply be probably at the site where the product that a mine produces is called yellowcake. It's uranium oxide. It's minimally radioactive. You know, it would have to be impounded at the site, and you know, a marshal or a sheriff or something like that would have to be involved. So I don't see us incurring any extra cost in that.
I'd ask for there any objections, right? Okay. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 4? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd also like to note that this language is reflective of the NRC agreements, that we are required to have this language. So in regards to the impound aspects, and that's all under the requirement of the NRC aspect. And remember, this is for primacy. It's a good thing. Keeps certain agencies out of our backyard.
Any further Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just a reminder that the cost for this program is incurred by the industry. So whatever is impound, that will be passed through to industry in fees. So it'll be handled.
Yeah. Sensing the body is ready to vote, question being called, and the matter thoroughly discussed, all those in favor of Vice Chair Lauch's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 4 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 4 is passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to take a minute, and I thought the representative from House District 18, the first member of the freshman class of the 64th, did an outstanding job on a very difficult bill. Good job.
Representative Haverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In the gallery today, we have some members of the town of Star Valley Ranch, probably one of the fastest growing towns in Wyoming. We have Star Valley Ranch Mayor Kathy Byers, Councilman Tom Lynch, and Town Administrator Greg Wilkes. Please welcome them to the legislature.
Okay, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38, School Finance Interfund Borrowing. An act relating to school finance.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 38 do pass. And I will explain the bill.
Please proceed.
Thank you. This is an act relating to school finance. It eliminates the interest charges from funds borrowed from the common school account within the permanent land fund to cash flow school foundation program account There's conforming account names and making conforming amendments. Let me run through this bill real quick, and then I'll explain it to you. As you can see on the bottom of page 2, line 21, instead of saying and repaying, new language is inserted saying shall repay the foundation program account. And then you'll see that there's a whole bunch of stricken language in there, and we end up with that money has to be repaid not later than June 15th. So what has happened is that there are districts out there that don't have enough money coming in from their local resource portion of their taxes. And so they have to borrow money from the state in order to be able to make their operations continue. When they borrowed that money, it was being borrowed at 6%. So we were charging interest on money that we were giving the state schools to be operating, and then we turned around and we put that interest back into the account again. Well, whose money was it? It was the state's money to start out with. So all we're doing is penalizing the districts 6% by moving this money back and forth. And we said, this is ridiculous. It is the state's money. Why are we doing this? And so let's get rid of the interest. And that's what we have done. If you look on the back page, it's probably the first one that you'll see that has a fiscal note on it. Back page says there's $22 million in school foundation impact. And if you look on the next one, it says there's an anticipated decrease in the school foundation fund of $22 million. The bottom of the first paragraph says, last sentence, although the school foundation program recognizes a transfer to the common school permanent land fund account as is revenue, it's offset the interest expense resulting in a net zero effect to the school foundation program. So once again, it's just money coming in, money coming back out. Questions?
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 38 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 38 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please, just an adjustment to the general file, please move House Bill 71 to the bottom of the list.
Okay, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 42, introduced by Education. Education, State Board of Education Membership. An act relating to membership of the State Board of Education.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to support, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 42 do pass. And I will explain the bill. Okay, what we're doing is we have added one more person as an ex officio to the state board, and we're doing this to try to improve the relations between K-12, the community colleges, and the University of Wyoming. So the state board is where a lot of decisions are made as far as curriculum go, and that's where some of the comments were that we needed to have more exchange of information. So this ex officio member will be the president of the University of Wyoming or their designee as stated on page 2, lines 6 and 7. Any questions?
Any? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises reported, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 42 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill number 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. Okay, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 82, introduced by Revenue. Local optional sales and use taxes. An act relating to sales and use tax.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman?
Madden.
Chairman Madden, my apologies.
I'm new here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that Bill number 82 do pass, and at the appropriate time, I will briefly explain the bill.
Yep, please go forward.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first committee bill of the Revenue Department this year. And really, to give you some understanding of it, I have to give you a little background about local finance, local options when it comes to the excise tax. There's several different purposes and uses of the optional excise tax for local governments. And for example, we have the lodging tax, okay? And it has a range, I think it goes, you can have it run from 2% to 4% or something like that. We have a general purpose tax that is just for general financing of the general fund of local governments, and that can either be 1 percentage point or 2 percentage points. Then we have a special purpose or a special project option, and that is 1 or 2% as well. And then we have an economic development option also. But the key thing among all four of these is that they can't, or excuse me, of the last three, not including the lodging tax, but the last three, is that they can't total more than 7%. But you can mix and match any way you want. You could have 1% economic development, 1% special purpose, 1% general purpose, or you could have 1 or 2% special purpose or general purpose. But the key is it can't add up any way more than 3%, okay? And that was passed, I think, 9 years ago in the legislature, that we added another penny, and for years and years we wondered why nobody ever went for that other penny. Well, in interim work, we discovered that it was a double jeopardy situation, because if you had 1% general purpose and then you wanted to move to, let's say, 1.5% general purpose, you are risking the first initial 1%. So everybody's afraid to even consider that, because they couldn't live without that first percent, and they just didn't want to jeopardize it. Now, we found out a number of different ways why we had a problem here, and we had a local government, I think it was a county somewhere in the center of the state, had a 2% lodging tax, all right? And they said, well, we'd like to see if we could raise it to 3%, so they put it on the ballot, and it didn't quite make it. It lost by 40 votes or something like that. So that meant they went back down to zero, okay? So all this does, ladies and gentlemen, is takes away the double jeopardy part thing, that if you want to change the tax, it doesn't sacrifice what you'd had in existence perhaps for decades. So that's what it is, and there will be, we have some wording questions that came up during our committee discussion. So we cleaned up the language, and you'll see there's an amendment, and it's a big, long amendment, but it's real simple, because we have to repeat everything for the sales tax as we do the use tax. So they're just duplicates, so that it enters into the right article in the Title 39. And then we have the same language for the special purpose, the general purpose, the lodging tax, and so forth, and they're all repeated. So you just got a big, long amendment that has lots and lots of repetition in it. And I would ask, I think at this point, unless there's questions, well, I think the best thing would be to have the representative from House District 13 explain this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we'll now be on, it's our Committee of the Whole amendment, and Madam Minority Floor Leader.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 82 and ask for your favorable consideration. Just following up on, it's in your box, and it It looks like a monster, but it really isn't, as the good chairman said. So again, what this bill does is it allows for local control and local jurisdictions to be able to go up to that statutory kind of limit in terms of taxation. What's going on right now is that if a community has decided that if 2% was the maximum and they're at 1% right now, they want to add another 0.5%, right? And it gets defeated, they lose the 1% that's already there. So they were going for 1.5. Instead, they lose. It goes down to one, it goes down to zero, where everyone would want to keep the one. All right. So that's the purpose of the bill. The amendment, the committee of the whole amendment, does two things. The first part of it is the original language that you saw in the bill was ambiguous because with that additional language, it then appeared that it was talking about the defeated amount being repealed. It just didn't make sense. And honestly, it just didn't make sense. So what you see here on page one of the Committee of the Whole Amendment, on lines 13 through 17, it simply allows for the community to bring back, if the amount was defeated, it can bring back that proposition in a subsequent election. All right, totally fine. The next portion is the important addition that says that the amount that was, that if defeated, the amount that was currently and passed by the community would remain. Right, and that's the important part. And you see that language is repeated for every kind of tax that exists. The second change in here is, honestly, it was simply an omission. So line 28 on page 1 uses the same language for the lodging tax, which was, again, just an omission. So I'd be happy to take any questions. If not, I'd call for the vote on the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
We are on the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. Any questions on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 82, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 82 has passed the House of Representatives. We are back on the bill. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question. I'm a little bit confused on this. So let's use the lodging taxes as an example because we've been talking about that. So let's say a county goes ahead and they approve a 2% lodging tax. It has to be renewed every 4 years. So my question is this. If a county wanted to come back, I see where this would go in play. Say in the next 2 years they want to go ahead and bump it up to 4%. And I see how this bill would then work and that they would not risk losing that original 2%. But in that renewal, when we have year 4 and they have to vote on that tax again, is this saying that if they want to vote up to 4% but they lose it, that 2% continues in perpetuity? That's what I'm getting at, and maybe someone can help me out there.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. It does not continue into perpetuity. It continues until the next 4 years cycle occurs. So if I understand your question correctly, we have a proposition to increase it from 2% to 3%, and it doesn't pass with this bill. You still have the 2%, but knowing that the 2% has got to be ratified again in the four-year cycle.
Representative Clem, follow-up?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if you're following me quite well. So lodging tax again, so in year 4 it has to be renewed. And let's say, for instance, it was 2% and they have to vote on it again. We just did this in my county, and it was 2% that they were voting on. And if they had lost that vote, then there would be no lodging tax.
Yep, that's right.
But my question is, if they wanted to go, say, from 2% to 4%, mm-hmm. is this bill saying that if they loses the 4%, they'll still have that 2%, though, for the next 4 years. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chairman Madden.
Yes, that's my understanding. It would I could get an answer on that, but I think that they'd have to offer it as a the existing 2%, and then you have the other 2% as a separate question on the ballot. And if the second one goes off, or if the second one doesn't pass, the addition doesn't pass, it doesn't mean you'd lose the first one as long as it passed. But I might have to check on that before second reading and get an answer for you.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is along the line of my colleague from the northeast part of the state. And this is the language, if you want to turn to page 4, it's the previously language, previously approved. And that previously approved, that speaks to, I think, what was just being spoken about was, if the initial tax and the increase are on the same ballot, you don't have something that's in effect and previously approved. You have something that's actually timing out. So I just want to make clear that you actually can have two initiatives or maybe three initiatives to increase, to change the same tax on the same ballot. And I think that's what we're speaking to here. And maybe this accomplishes that. I'm not sure it's clear enough for me, but I understand the intent. I'm not sure the language does it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Madden.
I think that's very similar to the same question that was just asked. What we can do between now and the second reading is get a better clarification, and if there's a need to clarify it even more, I thought the amendment probably did take care of that because we did focus on the lodging tax in it, but I guess that's all I can say right now.
Any further discussion on House Bill 82? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 82 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
House Bill 82 passes Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 25, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Dry Bean Commission Member Terms. An Act Relating to Agriculture.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, they do so with a recommendation that House Bill 25 do pass. And I turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from District 25.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. In committee this morning, they kind of decided this might be a chance for me to redeem myself from presenting this bill 2 years ago. And it was rather dry and long. Anyway, if you go and see on page 2, we have a change. And what it essentially does is defines the terms as they're 4 years. So that's the basic bill. There wasn't quite clear, they thought, when they came up for election. So. Also, it is effective immediately because they need to send out notices and ask if anybody would like to run this year because three of them will come up for election. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The question being called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 25 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Division having been called, all those in favor of House Bill 25, please rise. There's more than 30. We'll sit down. House Bill 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
Okay. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Stop it. I need you to
stop. Okay.
I know. Keep looking at that thing.
Okay, the read report, I make the motion. Yeah, now read the report. Chairman Greer. Okay, thank you. Okay, the reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as files. House Bill 4, amended. Amended. Recommended, do pass. House Bill 38, recommended, do pass. House Bill 42, recommended, do pass. House Bill 82, amended. Recommended, do pass. House Bill 25, recommended, do pass. Chairman Greer.
Okay. We've finished the Committee of the Whole report. Chairman Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I move the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Congratulations, Chairman Greer. Okay, committee announcements. Okay, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at 11:45 in L54. We'll have 15 minutes of procedural, and then we will hear House Bill 6, PBR, House Bill 7, Reinsurance, House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments, and House Bill 43, Board of Insurance Examiners Repeal. You are all invited for lunch.
Okay, Vice Chair Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will be meeting shortly here after adjournment in L54, joint meeting with the Senate to hear budget updates from the Department of Agriculture. And, Mr. Speaker, while I'm up here, I forgot to do this earlier, but I'd like to re-refer House Bill 26 to JAC.
Okay, thank you. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue Committee number 3 will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, the usual time, and we'll be in our usual room, too, at SH36 across the hall. We're going to be discussing first House Bill 19, Sales from Remote Sellers, House Bill 11, Discounted Cash Flow Implementation Process, and House Bill 10, Oil and Gas Tax Reporting, if time allows. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, Friday, January 13th, 8 a.m., room H37. We will hear House Bill 3, Cease and Transfer Priority List, and House Bill 2, Storage Tanks.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet again today at noon in Jonah Room H38 to continue our discussion on House Bill 17, Adult Protective Orders, Time Limit Extension.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 in H38 to consider House Bill 20, Honor and Remember the Flag, and House Bill 63, Game Animal Licenses Limitations.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet on noon recess Friday to discuss House Bill 8, which is student data privacy, and House Bill 9, which is student ownership and privacy rights.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, I would note that House Bill 26 has been re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriations.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Appropriations Committee number 2 will be meeting on adjournment at noon and at 8 a.m. tomorrow and at noon tomorrow, all continuing our budget review process.
Okay, thank you. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've got a bit of a problem we don't normally have because we usually come back after lunch break. So transportation usually meets at adjournment. We have committee members that are on the Corporations Committee meeting right now. If people could let me know how many of you are there. I think what I'll do is text everybody when they are done with that meeting, and we'll start ours up. So you're not done for the day. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. And maybe we can kind of go with the plan. So if there's folks from the public, maybe 2 p.m. You'll be finished probably by 2 p.m., Corporations. That's our general. And so we'll work that out. I think that'll work, Chairman Eklund. So thank you. But just a note to the public, it'll probably be a couple hours and go from there. So thank you. Any other announcements? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet Friday, January 13th, Friday the 13th, House to consider House Bill 83, Health Care Facilities Licensing, Bed Count Limit Exemption. Thank you.
Okay, any other announcements?
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you. Just a little follow-up there. The Joint Agriculture Committee was going to meet in L-54 to talk with the Agriculture Department, and we found out that the Senate is coming back from lunch, and we'll consider a couple of bills. So we'll meet probably about half hour after their lunch is done.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman McKim. Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Friday, January 13th, 2017.
Okay, we have one privilege of the floor. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All of you received a memo from LSO in your inbox this morning. If you have any questions on that memo, see myself or Chairman Nicholas, and we can answer your questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, thank you. You have heard the Majority Floor Leader's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. The House is adjourned till tomorrow, 10 a.m.